Well, good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Nathan. I am one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. It's a great morning to be with you because we're going to continue our series, our teaching series on This Is Us. And I've got to tell you, I am so glad to be part of a family. The song, We Are Family, the family of God. I mean, it changes everything. It makes all the difference. We've been looking at what it means to be a part of God's family, the community of faith. I mean, the church. I mean, this is us, after all. From all the walks of life we come from, we are the body of Christ, the church, the community of faith. See, last week we discussed what it meant to be a witnessing community with our words. That is, proclamation, what we proclaim. This week, we'll talk about what it means to be a witness with our deeds. That is demonstration. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, I'm going to make you my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I mean, to the whole world. Jesus sent us to be witnesses. And see, witnesses are to both proclaim and demonstrate the good news. I mean, we have to add works to our words. We have to add walking to our talking. And speaking of talking, there's lots of talking that goes on at a barbershop. I don't know if any of you ever go to barbershops, you know, but it can be a hotbed of chatter, and people discuss and debate about everything. They talk about everything under the sun. And there is a sense of community there, but of course, the main reason most people go to barbershops is to get their haircut. Well, 10 days ago, I got a haircut that changed my life. Now, not because it was particularly good or bad, because once you start losing hair, there's only so much you can do. I mean, you know, I've seen signs, I'm a beautician, not a magician, you know. But I went in about 10 days ago, and it just so happened this was the very day after I had gone to an IJM event. Now, IJM is International Justice Mission. It's a ministry that exists to eradicate slavery in the world, to end human trafficking. Our church partners with this ministry, and it's spearheaded by Shelter Rock's own Rebecca Padgett. I don't know if you know Rebecca. She's usually at our Syosset campus. And it's designed to stamp out human trafficking around the globe. Not only do we partner with IJM, but we also partner with other ministries like NOMI Network, which is spearheaded by Sweena Varghese, who you know from here at this campus. And it's basically to raise awareness about human trafficking around the world because most people don't know about it. And you see, it very much exists today. I mean, and it's nearer than you think. See, at the IJM event that day, I learned some things. I learned that, well, do you know there's an estimated 40 million people in slavery today? 40 million. That is the population of the state of California, our most populous state. 40 million people in bondage. And this evil generates $150 billion annually. I mean, and one out of four of the victims are children. Now, I know statistics, they can leave you a little disconnected, but we watched a video that day about a boy named Gideon who, well, he was held as a slave with other boys on Lake Volta in Ghana. Now, as I watched this video, one of the things, you learn so many things, but here is a young boy being held as a slave on a boat. Now, Lake Volta is a man-made lake. What they did was flood a region with water because it's a very lucrative fishing industry. But when you flood this area, there are trees and shrubs and the like that are there. Now they're underwater and submerged. Well, what happens is the nets get tangled in these shrubs and in these trees that are underwater. And the truth is, little boys, and I mean they're little boys, their hands are small enough and their bodies are small enough to where they can kind of go under the water and disentangle the nets. And so their owners, they take these boys, they enslave them, and they make them do this work. And they work them nonstop. They barely feed them. They're put in dangerous circumstances. They're held against their will on this giant lake, and it's to support an industry, a fishing industry. And as I was watching the video, one of the guys, IJM has, well, they're undercover people. They're wanting to end this, but you have to go in and assess the area. He goes out on the boats undercover, and he encounters this boy named Gideon, a young boy. And Gideon sees him, and Gideon says to him, he says, "They beat me. Please, take me with you. Take me with you." He begged the guy. Now, the tough part about this is that the guy had to say, "I can't do it," at least not at that moment. But you see, it's not just far off countries like Ghana. It's in our own backyard. In fact, I was at the barber shop, and I walk in, and it's a Wednesday, the very day after this IJM event, and I go in because Wednesday is not quite as busy. This is a very busy barber shop, and as I go in, some of the guys look at me and say, "Who are you here for?" Meaning, "Who's your barber?" And I say the guy's name, and they say to me, "He doesn't work here anymore." And I'm like, "He doesn't work here anymore? I mean, this is a very lucrative business. These guys make a lot of money." And you know, I don't know if you know, if you're like me, it's kind of like when you have a barber or someone cuts your hair, it's almost like a relationship. You know, because it's kind of like, you know, if they're not there, or if you're going to somebody better, if they do a bad job, it's like a breakup almost, you know. If a person is consistent, this is what it's like. But the guy's not there. So I'm perplexed. And I said, "Well, where did he go?" And they said to me, "You don't want to go where he went." And I was like, "What are they talking about?" And finally, I let someone else who never cut my hair cut my hair, and I'm talking with her, and I'm like, you know, I'm concerned because I'm like, what's going on with this guy? I said, "I understand you may not want to talk about it, so, but maybe I can help," because I'm thinking, I've known this guy now for several years. You know, once a month I go get my hair cut. I mean, you don't really know somebody, but you kind of get to know them. And she said, "Well, the truth is, he and another guy, another barber there who I also knew, even before he became a barber there, they were busted for human trafficking. They were holding young girls, as young as 13, in a motel room, pimping them out. The girls were from Central America, and it broke my heart. So many things, because it's hard for me to believe this on the one hand, but as I'm listening, I'm realizing this is in our backyard. The day before, it was in Ghana, but today, it's in Nassau County. And it stuns you. And there were a lot of words floating around that day at the barbershop, a lot of proclamation. But see, things like this require more from the church than just proclamation. It requires that we demonstrate the Spirit's power and presence in the world. We can't just talk about it. See, I had witnessed to these guys. I had invited them to church. It requires that we take action. You see, Jesus called his community, his church, to provide and protect. He called us to provide and protect, to provide for the needs of the poor and marginalized, and to protect the vulnerable from exploitation. It's our calling. And this call to provide and protect can be seen clearly in the lives of the early Christian community. Let's take a look at what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. We've been going through this passage. It says this. Now, let me set up the context for you. Remember in Acts 1, Jesus said to his disciples, "I'm going to make you witnesses here and to the whole world. I'm going to empower you to do that." And then Acts chapter 2, they're all up in the upper room, day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit falls in a special way and empowers them. And Peter gets up and he preaches this sermon. He proclaims something, and 3,000 people, when he proclaims the gospel, they become followers of Jesus. And then it says, those people that are now Christians, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by or through, really is better, the apostles. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Who did they give it to? Anyone who had need. Anyone who had need. And then verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that by the power of your Spirit, like you did at the beginning of your church, you would do today in your church, that you would empower us to provide and to protect, God, that you would move us to action, God, that we wouldn't just proclaim the good news, we would live out the good news. Anoint your word, open the eyes of our understanding, give us hearing ears and hearts that perceive, God, and legs that take actions. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, can we learn from this text? Well, the first thing that we learn here is this, that witnesses provide. They provide for the spiritual needs, the emotional needs, and the physical needs of all those who have such needs. Remember, who is it? Anyone who has need. Look at can we do this together? Can we make a proclamation? Can you look at your neighbor and say to them, I am a provider? Look. Okay, that was kind of anemic. I am a provider. By God's grace, I am a provider. This is us, folks. We are providers. The early witnesses were providers. Notice what the text says. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Do you see this? They devoted themselves, there's devotion, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, look at this word teaching. This is the spiritual part. We have all kinds of opportunities at Shelter Rock to minister to the whole person. We have teachings on Sunday mornings. We have SRC Academy. And we have fellowship. We have community groups. Folks, if you're not plugged into a community group, get plugged in. And it said that they were breaking bread. This is the spiritual. This is communion. They were eating together. It was fellowship. And they had prayer. We have prayer on Tuesday evenings, campuses, and we have prayer services, we've got community groups, Sunday service, all of these things. We even at SRC Academy have a thing called emotionally healthy spirituality. And actually, it's Pastor Jim Owens who pressed for this. He led these emotionally healthy spirituality and relationship classes. Now, as many of you know, his son Justin lost his life last Sunday, a week ago, about 1 p.m. And yesterday I was at the memorial service, and I have to say, the word that kept coming over and over again out of everybody's mouth was beautiful, a beautiful life, a beautiful service. I mean, this is a memorial celebrating Justin's life. And I look at Pastor Jim, and here's a guy who pours into people, especially the emotional side, to minister to them. And he and his wife, even that day, were encouraging people. You hear them get up and speak, and we're encouraged every bit as much as we're trying to encourage them. And I was so impressed about the community of faith. This is us I'm talking about. That people came to me, they said, how can we help? Can we send cards? A lady at the Tuesday night prayer meeting said, can I cook something? What can I do? I mean, these are people, we are people who demonstrate in tangible ways our love. This is the community of faith. This is us. We provide. You see, and we demonstrate these things, both in words and deeds. We provide physical things. Look at verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Now, this unified community of believers generously shared their lives with anyone who had need. Now, it's not communism that's going on here, because they did it freely. No one, the government didn't force them to do it. They did this out of a heart of love and giving. It was generous, free will giving. And they did it for anyone who had need. You see, it said they were in one accord, one unified attitude of service, of providing, of witness. And one accord, it doesn't mean a small car made by Honda. T- together. There's a Greek word, homothumadon, is to share the same attitude, the same mind, the same heartbeat, if you will. And I saw that in our community, and it was in the early church community. They provided, and they did it generously. You see, it said they were together, they were unified. Look at the purple words, and then everything in common. They shared. They sold property and possessions to give to who?
Anyone
who had need. Need. Provision is the answer to need. We are called to be providers. And there's so many ways you can get involved with this. We have Project Nemensa, which is right there in Ghana. In fact, some boys that were rescued from Lake Volta are there right now. We've got Food Pantry you can get involved with. We've got Care Ministry that delivers meals. Shelter Rock Church is filled with opportunities to serve. This ministry expo, guys, get involved. You see, I want to say it again. Can we say it together? We are providers. Let's say it again. We are providers. We provide for the spiritual, emotional, and physical needs of anyone who has those needs. But the early church witnesses were also protectors. They weren't just providers. And that's the second thing that we learn. We learn that witnesses protect those who are unable to protect themselves. The poor, the weak, the vulnerable. You see, that's just what love is. Love, agape love, is the other-oriented, self-sacrificial, choice-based love that ascribes worth and dignity to another, get this, at cost to oneself, if necessary. And sometimes it costs us. To protect the poor and the weak and the vulnerable, to intercede, to intervene, to come in between those things that are harmful and dangerous for somebody. And the scripture, the prophet Isaiah says it this way. He says, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the orphan, plead the case of the widow. Notice this, we are to do, not just think or talk, but do right. Do the righteous thing. And we seek justice. And then what are we to do? Defend. Defend the oppressed. And to take up their cause like a lawyer would. Pro bono. Of the orphan. Plead the case. We're pleading a case like a lawyer would for the widow. These are people who are marginalized. These are people who don't have the means to help themselves. They're vulnerable. We defend them. That's what the church does. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a protector. You're a protector. We're called to be protectors. You're chain breakers, folks. We're called to break chains. And you see, the church has always been like this. If you look at church history, I know the church gets a lot of flack, but from the beginning until even now, the church has always been involved in these things. The first orphanages were started by Christians. They would take babies that were left out for exposure to die of the elements. They'd take them in. If they had a birth defect, people would leave them out. The church took them in. It was hospitals. The first hospitals were created by Christians. And the culture around couldn't understand. It was for survival of the fittest back then. They built the first hospitals. During the time of the bubonic plague and pneumonic plague, the people were fleeing cities. But the church, the Christians, were running in to rescue them. They built hospitals and orphanages. And they abolished slavery and women's rights. There was a reason why the early church, the women, flooded in. They left these goddess-worshipping cults to go into the church. Why? Because Jesus said, hey, you're valuable. And it carried over. And the abolition of slavery, William Wilberforce, and universities, and I could go on and on and on, but the church has had an unbroken history. Despite all the foibles and people doing bad things in the name of Christianity, real Christianity has done more for good than any other force in the world, and we've done it through the power of the Spirit. We're called to be protectors. Protectors. Now, let's proclaim both of them. How about this? Look at your neighbor and say, we are providers. We are protectors. This is us. And folks, it's not in our own strength. And that's what Freedom Sunday is all about, really, is adding demonstration to proclamation. We learned proclamation last week, demonstration this week. This is the gospel. This is our Spirit-empowered witness. You are a Spirit-empowered witness. The scripture said, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free. Notice this. It says, he was anointed. We've been anointed too. To proclaim good news. It's proclamation and it's good news. Proclaim freedom. But we don't just stop there with our words. It says, set the oppressed free. Luke chapter 4, verse 10. Set the oppressed free. We have to add demonstration to our proclamation. Otherwise, we undermine our Christian witness if it's just words. If our gospel is to be credible, our witness has to be visible. Let me say that again. If our gospel is to be credible, our witness must be visible. We put that slide up. If our gospel is to be credible, our witness must be visible. It has to be tangible. It can't just be clever words. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, he says, you know, it's not about clever words. It's about demonstration of the Spirit's power. We demonstrate the Spirit's power when we put legs to these things that we talk about. Brennan Manning, many of you may know, he wrote Ragamuffin Gospel. I don't know if any of you have read it. But he said this. He said, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians, ouch, who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Our words and our actions don't match. See, we have to put legs to our lips and walk out what we talk out. We have to demonstrate what we proclaim. And we do this by providing and protecting through the Spirit's empowerment. And this is done for anyone who has need. It goes from where we are now to the ends of the earth. We were called to be witnesses to the whole earth. And folks, there's a lot of need. A lot of need. Take a look at this video.
Help is coming. Month by month, by rescue, beat by beat.
Folks, this is us. This is why the church exists. We break chains. We provide and protect. 40 million people in slavery around the world. We can end it in our lifetime. You know that? The Spirit can empower us to end it in our lifetime. Amen. See, true witnesses of a true gospel provide and protect. I don't want to just proclaim it. I want to do that. We need to do that. But I want to engage. I want to put my feet to action, my hands. I want to demonstrate the gospel. IJM and NOMI Network provide for the spiritual, emotional, and physical needs of these victims. They protect them. They come between them and harm. They take up their cause and they defend them. They break chains. And this is us. This is the church, the community of faith. And in fact, today, Freedom Sunday, we are joining with 18,000 churches around the globe for this event, to bring awareness to it, to change things. And it's all over the globe to set people free from everywhere in the world. And this stuff is not as far away as you think. You see, because it's so easy to hate from a distance, but it's hard to hate up close. And what I mean by that is this. It's so easy to neglect things when they're far off or a statistic. But when you see somebody's face, an individual, see them as a person, not just a statistic, it changes you when it's up close. It's like Gideon. When I saw him, it changed me. And he's a person who needs protection and provision. It changes your life, kind of like the haircut I got that day. It's in our own backyard, folks. And see, the hardest part of watching Gideon's story for me that day was the day before I got my haircut, was that although he begged the undercover worker to take him with him that day, they couldn't. And it's because I know they don't want to just rescue one boy. They want to rescue all of them. And it's a sting operation. But when I watched it, I got mad because this little boy is begging them. They're beating me. They don't feed me. I take me with you, and I don't know if I could have done it. I got angry as I watched it. And as I sat in the barber shop listening to this new barber telling me about this horrendous evil, I learned that this had been a year-long sting operation in Nassau County, that these girls, for 1 year, were being pimped out. And they were left in that situation in order so that everyone could be rescued. There's good news. Gideon was rescued. And so were these. You know, Gideon's little brother may still be out there. And see, God showed me something else through all of this at the barber shop. See, my haircut costs $20. And I always tip 20%, which is $4. $24. Actually, I throw in an extra dollar just to be generous. I want to be generous. But $24. And God spoke that to me. It wasn't by accident that I went from the IJM event on a Tuesday to this barbershop on a Wednesday and heard this. And really what my haircut costs, $24, is the cost of being a partner. See, becoming an IJM partner, a provider, a protector, costs $24 a month. This is less than what we spend on coffee, folks. Coffee. And you see, I grew up really poor. And I know that $24 can be a lot of money to people. I'm not rich now. But I can say I'm in a place now where $24 a month won't change the way I live 1%. But it'll change the way someone else lives 100%. $24 a month doesn't change the way I live 1% now. but it will change the way others live 100%. And if you give this month, I found out in September that the donation will be matched. It'll be doubled. So if you give $24 a month, it'll become $48 a month. And this is because there are some private individuals who will match the donation for a whole year. Whatever's given in the month of September will be matched. Your $24 becomes $48, and it'll up, and they'll do this up to $705,000. We are here to lift some loads, to break some chains, to provide and protect, to live out the good news. God sent Jesus into the world to provide and protect, and he did. He provided for our salvation. He died on a cross for us, and his Spirit gives us protection. And that same Jesus that was sent by his Father sent us into the world with the good news to be witnesses to the whole world, to provide and protect. You're a provider, you're a protector. This is us. This is the church. And many people were added to the church daily. They were saved daily. We've got people, 40 million people that need salvation. You're a provider, you're a protector, you've been empowered by the Spirit. This is what we've been sent out to do, to proclaim and to demonstrate the good news. $24 a month doesn't change the way I live 1%, but it'll change the way these guys live 100%. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you do what only you can do. God, if you don't empower us, we can't do it. If you don't inspire us, we have nowhere to go. I pray right now that by the power of your Spirit that you do just what we've proclaimed. You make us providers and protectors. You enable us to provide the resources that people need, to whoever needs, the spiritual ones, the emotional ones, the physical ones. And God, I pray that you make us protectors, that we will take up the cause of the weak and the innocent and the powerless, and we will plead their case, God, that we would defend them, God. I pray that you move us from just talk to action, God, that you would transform your community, the community of faith, into the world-changing, chain-breaking, gospel-proclaiming, earth-shattering deliverance ministry you've called us to be. In the name of Jesus, amen.